हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 6, texts 8 and 9. So let's chant both verses. Yeah. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutastho vijitendriyaha yukta ityuchyate yogi समलोष्ट्राश्मकाञ्चनः सुहृन्मित्रार्युदासीना मध्यस्थद्वेष्यबन्धुषु साधुष्वपि च पापेषु समबुद्धिर्विशिष्यते। I'll read word for word for both verses, and I'll read translation of the both verses, and then we'll read the purport to the verse 8. Jnana, by acquired knowledge, vijnana, and realized knowledge, tripta, satisfied, atma, a living entity, kutasthaha, spiritually situated, Vijita Indriyaha, sensually controlled, Yuktaha, competent for self-realization, Iti, thus, Uchyate, is said, Yogi, a mystic, Sama, equipoised, Loshtra, pebbles, Ashma, stone, Kanchanaha, gold, Suhrit, to well-wishers by nature, Mitra, benefactors with affection, Udasina, Ari, enemies, Udasina, neutrals between belligerents, Madhyastha, mediators between belligerents. Does everybody know the word belligerent? A person who is very aggressively disposed. Stands against something, against somebody in a very aggressive way. Dveshya, the envious. Bandhushu, and the relatives or well-wishers. Sadhushu, unto the pious. Api, as well as. Cha, and. Papeshu, unto the sinners. Samabuddhihi, having equal intelligence. Vishishyate, is far advanced. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangshya Shri Rupam Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunathanvitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savadhutam Parijana Sahitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitangshya. Okay. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones or gold, as the same. A person is considered still further advanced when he regards honest well-wishers, affectionate benefactors, the neutral, mediators, the envious, friends and enemies, the pious and the sinners, all with an equal mind. Purport to text 8. Book knowledge without realization of the supreme truth is useless. This is stated as follows. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyaihi Sevon Mukhehi Jihvadau Swayameva Spuratyadaha. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality and pastimes of Shri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. From Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.34. This Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna, because he is satisfied with pure devotional service. By realized knowledge, one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge, one can remain steady in his convictions. But by mere academic knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. It is the realized soul who is actually self-controlled, because he is surrendered to Krishna. He is transcendental, because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stones. So here, these two verses, they describe a yoga rudha, a person who has climbed up the yoga, who has achieved the perfection of yoga practice, a self-realized person. In the text 8, Srila Prabhupada goes sequentially, word by word, describing, purporting all the words in the verse, one after another. We will see. Very, very nice. It's very nice to study Prabhupada's purports and always looking back at the verse and seeing what point of the verse, what word of the verse Prabhupada is describing. Because most of Srila Prabhupada's purports are like that. Jnana Vijnana Triptatma, such a self-realized yogi, he is satisfied, fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. So Jnana, acquired knowledge. Vijnana, realization, realized knowledge. In other words, Jnana is what we theoretically know from the scriptures, and Vijnana is what we have actually realized. So a person is such a perfect person, fully satisfied with these both things. And as Srila Prabhupada describes, book knowledge without realization of the supreme truth is useless. So ultimately, jnana, when it's practiced, it should lead to vijnana, it should lead to realization. It shouldn't remain simply in the form of letters in our brain. We should realize what we are learning in life, what we are learning from the spiritual master, from the Vaishnavas, from the scriptures. Then that knowledge has value. First of all, one point is that triptatma, and there is satisfaction from these both things, from jnana and from vijnana. So in other words, a self-realized soul is satisfied with what he knows theoretically and what he has realized. So it's not that we at some point one will have realization of everything that we read in the scriptures. So there will be some points theoretical, but still a person will be fully satisfied with that jnana, with that knowledge. It's just to bring it to some practical examples is how we read about lots of things in Shastra, and those who are actually those who, devotees who are sincere, they satisfy from what they know from Shastra. Yeah, they don't feel tempted to seek for knowledge elsewhere, even though theoretical. Yeah, for example, we have knowledge of cosmology explained in the Bhagavatam, fifth canto. Yeah, it is jnana, and for most of us, I guess it will remain so because because you know, I mean, who has the time to go all over the universe and explore it, experience it, and so on? So the godly, divine persons, they will be satisfied with those descriptions. For example, yeah, and persons who are not up to this standard, which is described in this verse, they'll feel it incomplete. They like to so-called complete their knowledge by gaining it from elsewhere, as you know, as they may think, yeah, which is actually illusion, because whatever is given in the Shastras is perfect, because it is given by Krishna or by various sages or pure devotees who spoke that knowledge being inspired from the heart by Krishna. So it is perfect. And this faith in Shastra is actually a criteria that distinguishes two types of people that are described in the 16th chapter of the Gita. It is described in a slightly different context, but ultimately this is related to our point. 16th, 23 and 24. He who disregards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Yeah. So, Shastra Vidhi Mutsrija. So here Krishna was speaking in the chapter 16 about Shastra Vidhi, about injunctions, which is basically also the information that comes from the scripture. And he concludes the chapter, the divine and demonic natures, with this verse, you know. Which ultimately that lack of faith in Shastra will degrade a person, you know? And if the person continues with that degradation, it will lead the person to demonic nature, yeah, because there will be lots of mental speculation, there will be lots of experimental knowledge, so-called, yeah, and which ultimately is guided by the lower modes of nature, yeah, with the aim to enjoy and exploit. So devotees, they should be satisfied with what we gain from Shastra, even though it may not be in agreement with our sensory perception sometimes, yeah, still we should know that whatever Shastra describes is complete. Just like Krishna says in the seventh chapter of the Gita, second verse, I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. It's interesting that the same terms are used in that verse, jnanam and vijnanam. Yeah, Krishna says, I'm explaining to you now the jnana and the vijnana. And if you know that, you know everything. Because more than that, there's nothing else to know. So interesting, that same jnana and vijnana mentioned in today's verse. Yeah. So we should be satisfied with that, or satisfied in the sense that, not like satisfied that, oh, at the present I don't have anything more, but maybe in the future we shall discover. But no, satisfied in the sense that this is the best available in the world, and no one ever will speak anything more valuable than what we have in the Shastra. In that sense, satisfied, the actual, full, complete satisfaction, triptatma. And vijnana, so realized knowledge, yeah? So here Prabhupada immediately goes on and quotes the verse from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu speaking about realizing Krishna. Realizing meaning perceiving him with one's senses. This is very radical concept, very revolutionary concept, because even the residents of Tapoloka, as in Brihad Bhagavatamrita explained, even they didn't believe that it's possible to perceive the Lord through your senses. You know, they think the Lord will be revealed in the heart, you know, not through the senses, you know. And even if a devotee experiences Krishna, even if the devotee sees himself experiencing Krishna, it's all that experience actually is going on in the heart, you know. And it's because the absorption is so great that devotee feels he's perceiving Krishna like this. So they told to Gopakumar, why are you going anywhere else, you know? This is the perfection, to perceive the Lord, your worshipable Lord in your heart, and like that. So please come, stay on our planet and sit down in meditation. So that was their invitation. Gopakumar wanted more, and then Vishnudutas came, and there was an argument between the residents of Tapoloka and Vishnudutas whether the Lord can be perceived with one's senses. And it's a very philosophical part, but very, very interesting. And I may not know, I'm not fresh on that, but I remember I used to study that section, and it's very, very interesting. The same point Sanatana Goswami, who the author of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he repeats the same point in his commentary to Damodara Ashtaka. Because if you see the verses of Damodara Ashtaka, verse number 4 and verse number 6, I think. Verse number 4 was it? Varam deva moksham na moksha vadhim va na chanyam vrineham varesha dapiha idam te vapur natha gopala balam manasya virastam sada, what's that? Manasya virastam alam kimanya. Anyway, okay, about the form of Balagopala, I don't need that, I don't need this, I just want that this form of Balagopala be ever manifest in my mind. Okay, this is one prayer. You go two verses later, and what do you read? Damodarananta Vishno Prasida Prabho Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati Dinam Batanu Grihane Shamam Agnyam Edhyakshidrishya. Be manifest to my eyes, akshidrishya. Verse number 4, be manifest in my mind. Verse number 6, stand in front of my eyes. That's the difference. And this is the point Sant Goswami picks up on. And the same, practically verbatim, he repeats the same sentences that are there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita in the commentary to Damodara Ashtaka. So the point is, the conclusion is that the main point is that the senses are material and they are incapable of perceiving the Lord. But then the conclusion of the Vishnudutas is that there is achintya shakti of the Lord that can empower the senses to perceive him. The present senses, you know. It can transform the present senses and make them capable of perceiving the Lord. So this is what we aspire after. Perceiving Krishna, name, form, quality, and pastimes, And Srila Prabhupada, and as the verse says, from Bhakti Samta Sita, through Sevon Mukha, when the consciousness is Unmukha, it's turned towards service. Unmukha and Bahirmukha. So when it is Unmukha, when we face Krishna's service, then from the tongue and on to other senses, Krishna and everything related to Krishna, Svayam Eva, naturally, Svayam, naturally, by their own will, yeah, it is all revealed. Prabhupada writes further, this Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna because he is satisfied with pure devotional service. So, by the grace of Krishna, there is realized knowledge. Yeah, things are revealed. Otherwise, they become they remain theoretical. And this is what we want. This is what we are inspired from. Not just the books by themselves are inspiring. Yeah, definitely. There's no argument about that. Yeah. Even Srila Prabhupada books. Yeah, he's a Mahabhagavata, and Srila Prabhupada does inspire people who just read his books, even though they don't have association even with Srila Prabhupada followers. Yeah, there are so many proofs from the world, but still, association with devotees is essential, and this is the part of the process. Yeah, the physical association with devotees. Yeah, and that's from where we get so much inspiration from that, because we see somebody who has realized something what is written in the books. Yeah, and this is what touches the heart. This is what pushes us forward, inspires us to go forward. You know, I'm sure every devotee has that experience, having read some statements in the books for many, many years, and then meeting once some devotee and hearing him speak or seeing him act in certain way, and then only we understand, oh, this is what it means, you know? Yeah, this is what it means, Krishna consciousness. And then from that moment onwards, we make a change in our values, and we make suddenly a big step in spiritual advancement because we've seen a live demonstration of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so this point is there, that one must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness, means Krishna consciousness, and then one can get Krishna consciousness too. So realizing Krishna means realizing everything about him. Coming in a personal contact with Krishna and with spiritual world, God will not remain a concept, just a theoretical concept, or that may resolve so many other contradictions. Yeah, because many people might be attracted to religion from that point of view. Yeah, it explains so many things, it reconciles so many stumbling blocks in science. Yeah, God is there, intelligence is there, but from that jnanic perspective, yeah, from the perspective of theory. So, but then ultimately God is reality, is not just a concept, and coming in touch with that reality, absolute reality, is the purpose of sadhana, bhakti. Yeah, it's the purpose. And here, just to illustrate it, there's a chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Havendra Puri's devotional service. And in that chapter, you have so many interactions between the deity and a devotee. Yeah? Madhavendra Puri, Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri three times, yeah, gave three instructions. Yeah, first of all, he made himself known to Madhavendra Puri by bringing milk and by inviting him to discover him from the bushes. Yeah. Second thing, he sent him to Neelachala for bringing sandalwood. And then another thing, third time he appeared to him, on the way back, he told, don't take so much trouble carrying such a heavy weight and precious thing across the whole country. You know, you leave it here with Tota Gopi, with this Kshirachora Gopinath. I'm not different. I'll accept this sandal through that form. So this is the third dream. And then another time, Kshirachora Gopinath appeared in a dream of the Pujari and told him that, you know, I've hidden for my devotee a cup of sweet rice, so you take it. So you know, another instance of direct interaction between the devotee and Krishna. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the commentary, Madhya 4:95. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Yajatamam prapadyante tangstathaiva bhajamyaham. There is a responsive cooperation between the Supreme Lord Krishna and his devotees. The more a devotee sincerely loves Krishna, the more Krishna reciprocates, so much so that a highly advanced devotee can talk with Krishna face to face. Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tang yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. The actual mission of human life is to understand Krishna and return home back to Godhead. Therefore, one who is sincerely engaged in the service of the Lord with love and faith can talk with Krishna and receive instructions by which he can speedily return home back to Godhead. Today, many scholars defend the science of religion, and they have some conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but religion without practical experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no religion at all. Srimad Bhagavatam describes this as a form of cheating. Religion means abiding by the orders of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is not qualified to talk with him and take lessons from him, how can one understand the principles of religion? Thus, talks of religion or religious experience without Krishna consciousness are a useless waste of time. So, talking with Krishna, taking lessons from Krishna, dadami buddhi yogam tam, you know. So, there should be practical experience, otherwise without it, merely theoretical knowledge, it's a burden, it has to be realized. So, Jnana Vijnana Triptatma, and a person is a yogi, fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Continuing, Kutastha, he is spiritually situated, or literally, he is unchangeable, yeah, Nirvikara, no transformation. In other words, we are speaking about consciousness. The consciousness is steady, it's fixed, yeah. So then, by realized knowledge, one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge, one can remain steady in his convictions. Yeah? But by mere academic knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. So, this is the difference. Yeah, Kutastha, a transcendentalist is fixed in consciousness because he has realized knowledge, he has experienced, yeah, so therefore he has no doubts. Yeah. The doubts are removed by experience, we should know that. Yeah. Ultimately, doubts have to be removed by experience. Yeah. And doubts, they persist and they linger in the consciousness. Even to a very advanced point of Krishna consciousness, but ultimately vidyate hridaya granthish chidyate sarvasanshayaha. Yeah, ultimately when one reaches the platform of steady devotional service and progresses further, then the knot in the heart is broken and chidyate sarvasanshayaha, and all the doubts are eliminated. Yeah? But one who pursues mere academic knowledge means, theoretical knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. And there are so many examples of that, you know. So in Krishna consciousness, even in Krishna consciousness, that may happen, you know. There are some cases of devotees, you know, externally practicing Krishna consciousness and then kind of drifting away to something else, you know. And sometimes it's very surprising to see where they're drifting to, you know, some kind of, you know, the new age neo practices, and then, you know, they really very unworthy, very very insignificant things in comparing to Krishna consciousness. But then why that happens? Because all the years the devotees, such devotees, unfortunate devotees who were in a movement, they weren't striving for experience. They were for something else, you know. So it's important that Krishna consciousness is meant to be practiced. Yeah, it's not something we simply talk about. It's what we are practicing, and then it is practice means we should invest our faith, should invest our time in it, and should invest our energy. Then you get the result. Without investment, there is no result. So, and to make investment, one needs faith. So faith is a precursor to knowledge. Faith is a precursor to any kind of experience, especially Krishna conscious experience. So we have faith, and we should invest all that we have in the practice of Krishna consciousness, and then the results are coming, and we become steady in our convictions, because Krishna is no more a theoretical concept or some esoteric personage from the scriptures, but he is a real person who very actively takes part in our life. Yeah, takes very active part and very dominating part. Yeah, but in the language of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the transcendental autocrat. Transcendental autocrat means whatever he wants, he just does, you know. Transcendental autocrat. Yeah, whatever he wishes, he just does it. And the devotee doesn't mind. That's what devotee wants. So this is Krishna. And a devotee becomes steady on the strength of that realized knowledge, and then Prabhupada continues. The next description, Vijitendriya, whose senses are controlled, conquered. It is the self-realized soul who is actually self-controlled because he is surrendered to Krishna. So, because he surrendered to Krishna, he is actually self-controlled. What's the connection between surrender and self-control? Well, one thing is surrender to Krishna is in itself the sign of control over one's self. Meaning that if the mind is not yet controlled, mind will drag us in so many other directions other than Krishna's lotus feet. And then when mind is controlled, then there's only one destination, surrender to Krishna. And then another way to see it, because he surrendered to Krishna, he's actually self-controlled, is because once we surrender to Krishna, we enter into a relationship. Yeah? enter into relationship, and the relationship with Krishna is very, is full of rasa, is full of experience, sweet experience, sweet blissful experience. So therefore, one will not be, once having tasted that nectar, one will not be swayed somewhere, anywhere else. Yeah, so one's self will naturally be controlled. One will naturally, spontaneously remain on transcendental level, because this is because of one's surrender to Krishna. And then yukta ityuchate yogi, so he is competent, yukta, competent for self-realization. Prabhupada writes, he is transcendental because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stones. So it's amazing, in a very interesting way, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada gives this analogy a very interesting angle, because generally this analogy means that he sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones or gold, as the same. So in other words, a person has no preferences and no repulsion against one or the other thing based on one's personal attachment. What happens when one becomes transcendental? One loses one's material raga and dvesha, one's repulsion and attraction for material things. So therefore, there's no preferences, you know, for oneself. You know, for Krishna, of course, we always strive for the best. So there are preferences, you know, but that is spiritual preference. That is of a different character whatsoever. But for one's personal interest, one has no such preferences. So therefore, whatever comes on its own accord, whatever I receive by my past deeds, you know, I just accept. I don't envy other people who are in more comfortable position, and I don't hanker for that position too, you know. So that's right. And I'm also not attached to my, if even in case I have to suffer, I don't become attached to my suffering too. You know, I don't, because generally things go, attachments go to the better side of things, you know. But sometimes people may get attached even to being poor. People may get attached to some, you know, things that even are considered not so. It is said, I heard, it's coming from some Acharya's commentary, that Sudama Brahmana, of course, he's a Nitya Siddha devotee of Krishna, but why Krishna gave him much more than he even wanted, because he had that attachment, he had that lastanartha, yeah, of being sattvic brahmana, of being renounced brahmana, being poor brahmana. And then Krishna wanted him, and he made him richer than anybody else in that region where he was living, you know, whole palace full of servants and, you know, all the valuables. So that's, yeah, Krishna may remove our attachments in, even in that way. So
Prabhupada is also that example. Prabhupada has no perfect people.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's there, but I'm just speaking about the attachments, yeah. Srila Prabhupada wasn't attached to poverty as well, even though Prabhupada was poor in the beginning. He wasn't attached to it, and once Prabhupada saw money coming, he graciously accepted it. Yes, this is Krishna is, we'll engage it in Krishna service. Once there was a you know, that some kind of a bogus yogi who was famous, I don't remember when and where, I don't know the details, but I know that the devotees brought to Prabhupada some picture, and that yogi was pictured like somebody was offering him money, and he was like, you know, turning his head and hands away from money. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, like they should have made a photo of me with, you know, with there's a pile of money, and I would I'd be like this." because for a pure devotee, there is no sense of basically, there's nothing to renounce, because everything is Krishna. So how if a clerk says that I renounce all the money that is in this bank, he's a madman. So here we have thousands of such sadhus, sometimes even famous ones, you know, they speak like this, but then, and they are getting worshipped for that. Even though if you bring that the same principle down to the bank clerk example, it's ridiculous. But somehow, when it comes to the point of sadhus, people kind of respect it. So, because, yeah, they don't know that everything is Krishna and everything is Krishna's. So there's nothing to renounce. So therefore, no personal preferences. Yeah, and whatever, if Krishna wishes, we accept. If Krishna doesn't want us to accept, we don't accept. We stay on, focused on our devotional duty. And then going further, text number 9. This is about inanimate matter. Yeah, pebbles, stones, or gold. What about people around you? Are you equal? So that's a higher step of advancement, to remain equipoised in the midst of one's well-wishers, affectionate benefactors, neutral mediators, envious friends and enemies, the pious and the sinners, and have no partiality to neither of these categories. So this is even a higher platform. One should treat all those people with an equal mind. We had a similar verse in the end of in the middle of the fifth chapter. Vidyavinaya sampanne brahmane gavihasti nishu nichaiva shvapakecha pandita samadarshina. They see, you know, the cow eater, the dog eater, dog, brahmana, all the same. You know, they are all spirit souls, particles of Krishna. But also another way that Baldevide Bhushan explains that verse is that they see all the same because they see Paramatma sitting in the heart of the cow, the brahmana, the dog, and the dog eater. They see in that way also sameness, you know, equal vision. Krishna is in the heart of all of them. So such an advanced transcendentalist, he sees all those various kinds of people around him equally, in the sense that they are spirit soul, and in the sense that Krishna is present in their heart, in each of the heart of each of them. So how does one act with that realization? Is that, somebody may be Sukhrit. By the way, this is interesting way. What's the difference between Sukhrit and Mitra? So Sukhrit is well-wishers by nature. You know, the people who like to do good things to others. Yeah, just by their nature. Sometimes you meet such. On Mitra, benefactors with affection. I mean, they do something good to you because there is some affection between you, you know, like that. So then there are neutrals, then there are mediators, yeah. Then there are the envious, yeah, relatives, sadhus and asadhus, papis. So then we naturally become, in the midst of, in the society, we naturally become affected by different behavior that such categories of people may show. And based on that, if we are conditioned, we have some soft spot for the friends, for those who do us good, and we kind of dislike the guy that, you know, called me bad name on the street, you know. We have a bad spot for him. Yeah. So a perfect person will not do that, will have no such partiality even to those to those who treat him well or not. Yeah. Because this all stems from that realization that Krishna is sitting in everyone's heart, yes, and therefore everyone around me, and including me, but now we are talking about others, so everyone around me prompted to act by Paramatma. And if that action it's in one way or other affects me in a positive or negative way, this is what is to be experienced by me, by my destiny or my karma, or this is what Krishna wants me to experience, or what Krishna wants me to teach something through others. So therefore, why should I be you know, take unnecessary I should be unnecessarily angry with those who seemingly do me bad to me, and why should I be experience some attachment to those who do so-called good, you know? They're all prompted by Krishna from within the heart, so therefore I shouldn't feel such, you know, partialities. So in that way a person can stay happy in the world, actually. Yeah. The source of all troubles, the source of all miseries is our mind, you know, and particularly the attachment and repulsion that the mind has, raga and dvesha. Yeah? And if we eliminate that, if we transcend that, you know, then we stay happy in the midst of the world, you know. Even we may be treated well or not, or opposite, it will not affect us, you know, and we will be kutastha, yeah. So this thing, raga and dvesha, in regards to things, in regards to people, has to be transcended. And it's like it's the key to avoiding all miseries, yeah? And not just transcended, but transcended in a devotional way, meaning we direct it on Krishna. Yeah, we direct it on Krishna. All these functions of consciousness to be attached to something and to feeling. Even hatred or dvesha against somebody else, yeah, that's there, feeling, being angry with somebody, yeah, like, for example, and Narottam Das Thakur says, yeah, even that emotion, you dovetail in Krishna consciousness by being angry with the offenders, and that's the duty of a devotee, as Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Not just transcending, but redirecting this all raga and dvesha and other things on Krishna, on things related to Krishna. In this way we remain beyond the duality and we remain beyond sufferings. Yeah. Okay, if you have any questions or comments, yeah, please.
Hello.
For radio. You're on radio.
Which satisfaction is mentioned here? Because you mentioned from Brihad Raghavatamrita about Gop Kumar.
Yeah.
Because he achieved the Tapaloka where they are transcendentalists.
Yeah.
And they are satisfied. But he was dissatisfied.
Yeah.
So about which satisfaction is...
Oh, and here, in the purport, or in the verse, is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization? Hmm. Well, yeah, Gopakumar wasn't satisfied with the conclusions of the residents of Tapaloka. Hmm. Well, you can I guess see it in that way that you might see it in a general way that that the person you are satisfied with even though you are not satisfied you are still satisfied at the same time. In other words, that's the nature of Krishna consciousness. We have that in the verse of in 11th canto, What's that about eating? Three things happen. What's that verse? How does it start? Viraktir anyatra chesham trika eka kalaha prapadyamanasya tathashanta syus tushtih pushtih kshudapayo nughasam. So when we eat, three things happen simultaneously. Nourishment, satisfaction, and disappearance of hunger. So the same things is happening when one surrenders to Krishna. One experiences three things: one experiencing bhakti, one experiences tushti, satisfaction, pushti, nourishment, and kshutapaya, yeah, disappearance of hunger, meaning disappearance of material miseries. So then the analogy of eating is the thing that, you know, you can't fully apply this analogy to spiritual matters, because you eat in the material world, you eat and you get satisfied, boss, I don't want more. But in the spiritual matters, you experience Krishna, you are satisfied with that, but still you want more. And that's the point where the analogy doesn't stretch, when the analogy doesn't cover that. So we have to be aware of that. So to some degree we experience Krishna, and we are satisfied because, in the sense that yes, we are satisfied with the point that yes, I see that this process is working, I see that Krishna is there, yeah. But at the same time, there is dissatisfaction in the sense that you want more, you know. So these two things, satisfaction and desire for more, exist at the same time for a devotee, you know. Even though a devotee, yeah, in the same way, Gopa Kumar, yeah, he wanted more. It was too little for him, you know. Maybe this Tapaloka, residents of Tapaloka, actually their bhakti was mixed with jnana. Yeah, it was kind of a jnana mishra bhakti. Yeah, but Gopa Kumar wanted pure kevala. Yeah, so it wasn't side of it. He wanted more. Yeah, so I guess we can explain that in that way. That, yeah, 1 second. Is that, does that explain, you think, your question? Yes, yeah.
Okay. Actually, Tapaloka is in the material realm, and highest is Brahmaloka. When there is no satisfaction in Brahmaloka, how can he get satisfaction in Tapaloka? In Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Ah, Brahma Bhuna Loka Punravartino Arjuno, Mahapupetya Tu Kunte Punarjanamna Vidyate." That is in material realm, and we have to go in spiritual realm. That is in Goloka.
Yeah. Okay, Hare Krishna. So, thank you. So, that's the thing, I guess. So, a transcendentalist is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization that, I guess that, you know, that satisfaction is there. We are satisfied that we are Krishna's devotees, and, you know, but then at the same time we are striving for more. I guess that would be the answer, yeah. Yes.
What is the meaning of the word mediator in that word?
Mediator. Oh, in verse 9. Madhyastha, mediators between belligerents. Okay, belligerents we explained. There's the aggressive, you know, position. Yeah. So it's I think it's described in the commentaries that Udasina are the two parties are fighting. Udasina are those who just want to run away, who just want to avoid it. The Madhyasthas, the mediators between belligerents, they're the ones who want to kind of to pacify both parties. they are the ones who want to settle the argument, settle the dispute, madhyastas. Yeah. And yeah, and dveshya, yeah, the dveshya, yeah. They want to kind of harm others. Yeah. Does that explain that?
Gyan vijnana triptatma. So vijnan, we hear this very famous verse, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, tinged with the salve of love of God, the eye. You know, I haven't really seen Krishna with that love of eye. Can you explain, you know, what this, how to realize spiritual knowledge? I mean, Krishna, Krishna prem, Krishna consciousness, the realization is not coming so strongly. Like I just said, this verse, you know, premanjana, where is that salve of love? You know, every day seeing the deity, you know, can you explain something, you know, how this realization I can have?
In other words, how do we come to the point of personal experience of Krishna? Yeah, talking to Krishna, yeah. Yeah, well, that's this is our goal, that is what we hanker after, but at the same time we shouldn't think it's too advanced that we can't aspire for that, because that will kill our urge to advance. If we think it's just too far up there, and I'll just be here and do you know, stay in this material world and remain a bhakta for lifetimes, you know, that would kill that fire of you know, that of enthusiasm to reach Krishna ultimately. So we should definitely be patient. As basically the key is Rupa Goswami's utsahan nischaya dhiryat. We should be enthusiastic. Nischaya, we should be certain. Yes, it is not simply that Srila Prabhupada says back to home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. It is certain. Yeah. Dhairyat, but one should be patient. You know, the time will come, and the perfection will be there. So one should be enthusiastic but patient at the same time. So in other words, yeah, we may that we shouldn't remove that from our mind, that desire for this experience, for direct service of Krishna, for what is called Svarupa Siddhi and what is called Vastu Siddhi. Svarupa Siddhi is then when in this present body we realize our eternal identity in the spiritual world. And Vastu Siddhi is when we give up this body and we actually attain physically that who we are, our own form, yeah, being born, particularly in context of Vraja, being born in Vraja with a particular form that we are eternally serving Krishna in. So this should become our aspirations, actually. Yeah, without this, practicing Krishna consciousness has no meaning. It's like it's no life. You know, if you don't aspire, if you have nothing to die for, you have nothing to live for. That's an amazing statement it's there by Radhanath Maharaj. If you have nothing to die for, you have nothing to live for. So these things they seem to be very, very far from us, but at the same time, we should do something. We should cultivate that lobha by hearing about Krishna, by associating with the devotees who has similar aspirations, yeah, and that way we will fan each other's spark in the heart, That's what association is meant to do. Yeah. So, and unless we have lobha, there's no scope in attaining Krishna consciousness, because in Padyavali it is said, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitam atir kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra mulyam api laulyam ekalam janma koti sukriterna labhyate. It's very musical verse. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitam atir kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra mulyam api laulyam ekalam janma koti sukriterna labhyate. That's the poetic meter. So the Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitam atir, that's the, from this phrase Prabhupada coined the term Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitam atir. What does it mean, Krishna consciousness? The consciousness which is surcharged bhavita with Krishna bhakti rasa. And Krishna bhakti rasa, it's a very, it's not theoretical thing. Rasa is not theory. Rasa is experience. So Krishna consciousness means actually direct experience of Krishna in one of the five rasas. That is Krishna consciousness. Kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. Wherever you see it's available, if it's available, you should just go and purchase it. And what's the price? Tatam mulyam api laulyam ekalam. The only price is laulya, greed. Janma koti sukritena labhyate. And you won't attain that Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. You won't attain this Krishna consciousness by any other thing. And the thing mentioned is performing punya, pious activities for crores, for millions of births. So this is the point, that we shouldn't think that we chant Hare Krishna and do devotional service like machines, and once the day will come and we will realize, things will be revealed to us. You know, this is not the process of Krishna consciousness. The process of Krishna consciousness is that when we practice the limbs of sadhana bhakti, we are supposed to develop greed, we are supposed to develop strong desire, burning desire to serve Krishna in whatever, in the best capacity we can do. Yeah? And that is the sign. If we feel that we that desire is growing, then that means we are on the way, and that means that the perfection will be achieved. Yeah? Because unless you have a desire to go somewhere, how you will go there? Yeah? Unless you have a desire, yeah. We don't just, it's imagination thinking that, you know, everything will be done for us. There should be our desire, you know. If I think, oh, I want to go home now, okay. And I close eyes and I will wait. When I'll be taken home? No. I should desire, I should do something for that. So then I'll get to home. So then, same way with Krishna. And so if we feel that in our practice of Krishna consciousness things getting stale, that's another question. Okay, one thing is that it takes time. Even if the practitioner is genuine, it takes time. Yeah. Bhakti Devi has to burn all the anarthas. It will happen quickly meaning within this lifetime, but it is quickly in terms of eternity. It is quick thing. So one should be enthusiastic but patient and certain. But another question is that if we do something wrong, if we do not apply ourselves fully, or if we apply ourselves in a wrong way to the process of devotional service, then we also may feel we are not getting, you know, experience of Krishna consciousness, you know. So then we have to, you know, be attentive to how we are practicing Krishna consciousness. How actively we are engaging our senses, our minds, and so on. It is. On the other hand, yeah, it is foolish to expect any result if we consciously nurture some anarthas. Yeah. It's and then losing faith, you know. But then, where lies the problem? The problem lies with our own, you know, contradiction, our own duplicity. We externally think even to ourselves that we are devotees, but then where do we put our energy into? Do we put our energy into developing the desire and developing devotion to Krishna, or we put it into we water anarthas that ultimately block the development of bhakti lata? So that's another thing. Yeah. And then the practical experience of Krishna consciousness will not be there, so because we are not after it. So one has to be careful in that regard. So therefore, guidance is needed. If we feel our faith is gradually, you know, getting dry, and things get stale in our life, in our devotional life, then we should approach, we should associate with devotees to get the guidance, to get inspiration, and then to get things back on track, and then everything will be fixed by that. So that's the blessing of sadhu sangha. You know, sadhus, they do not let us they always put us on the right track. Okay, so is there anything else I can? Yeah.